Hi, and welcome to episode 22 of the Black Multiverse Theory podcast, a podcast challenging anti-blackness through discussions of global, local, and popular culture from the perspective of Afro-Canadians who live different versions of themselves to navigate everyday life. And this podcast is available on Apple, Google, Spotify, Breaker, Podbean, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher.
Nice.
And
so it's not Breacher, it's Breaker.
Is it Breacher?
It's Breaker.
Go check it. I'm sure you've checked it and you're challenging me now.
No. Is it? We just had this conversation. Now we're redoing the conversation because you didn't record any of it.
You're redoing the conversation? I thought we would just move on to new and different conversation.
All right. We could do that too.
I thought we were just going to keep it moving.
So my week, we were talking about my week. So my week was full of work and good times.
Mm-hmm.
New place of employment, which has been just challenging at nights and stuff like that.
It is Breaker.
Okay. So it's just been challenging at night. So because it's been that type of challenge, it's just been a little bit crazier for sleep because I'm working in the nighttime. But I did MC two events this week. So two events that I did were two weddings. Very, very awesome weddings. Both, the first one was a Jamaican groom with a, I don't know where in Africa she's from, but the bride was from Africa. I don't know, the continent is huge, but
it's a lot of countries there.
Yeah, so I don't know which country she's from, unfortunately. But she was awesome. Very awesome, beautiful couple. And this last one was a Jamaican couple. So they got married this weekend, and it was great. One of the things that we were talking about just now was just that, you know, they're very threatening. There was a lot of threats going back and forth with love. So, you know, you have the groom. One of the bridesmaids says, "You know, I know her. She's really good. She's really nice. She's really attentive. So I know that if she says you did anything to her, I'm gonna come and break your face."
Okay. Wow.
And the dad came, and he's like, "Well, if he does anything to her, I can walk a little bit, and I'm going to walk over to you, and we're going to talk." And I was like, wow. And then the groom's uncle came in. He's like, "You know what? We're talking about walking, but I can do this." And he jumped up into the air, and he was doing these kicks. And I came in, I'm like, can we all settle down? Why we got to be so violent?
There's not enough insurance for this wedding, for those kinds of antics.
I find it funny because it was a Christian wedding. It was a very threatening, in the name of Jesus, karate kicks in the name of Jesus. So it was funny.
Okay. My week was good. I have been working a lot and spending a lot of time at the shop, so it looks good. I'm happy with where it's at, and it's just been work, work, work. It's really bad, but that's just what it's been. We have a bunch of things coming up, so I hope you guys see me out. I'm going to strap this camera around my neck and get out and get some pictures and go to some events, which we'll guess we'll talk about at the end. I'm catching up with The Color Purple on Thursday.
Hey.
We have a networking event that's on Wednesday.
So you're going out to The Color Purple, is what you're saying?
Yeah, Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a new one. I did not know.
I have been meaning to tell you, but it's been slipping my mind.
Color Purple and where is The Color Purple?
I don't have any of that information, honestly.
Well,
I asked Noel to come, and he was like, "A play? No."
I personally know a lot about The Color Purple. The Color Purple will be held at the Citadel Auditorium on Thursday night.
I assumed it would have been the Citadel, of course.
And
did you know that Gayle King was in the original movie?
The original movie?
Yeah, Color Purple with Oprah. Gail King was a random churchgoer in there. It's an uncredited role, but I guess she's been rocking with Oprah from time to time. That's her friend. It is, in fact, her friend.
That is.
So, yeah, we'll be out and about this week. Also, it's DJ Iceman's birthday coming up.
Yeah, DJ Iceman.
Yeah. He's has a pajama party, which I know people are going to be out of Arda.
Okay.
It's going to be rough. But we're looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. Who knows? Who knows what I'll be doing? We'll see. But I'll be there in some kind of pajamas.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's it. It's a fun packed next week. I committed to things, so people are going to be dragging me around the place.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So your color purple, it runs from September 21st to October 13th. So mm-hmm. those of you who want to go out to it, the show is always, it looks like it's at 7:30 for the most part,
mm-hmm.
until we start getting into...
You better get your tickets now, because I think they're like...
Yeah, early October, from the 6th, they have the Sunday show at 1:30. So there's a couple Sunday shows that they're going to host it at 1:30. But everywhere else, it's going to be 7:30. It's at the Schachter Theater in mm-hmm. the Citadel. So you want to get over there. And, you know, your ticket prices aren't looking so bad. Depending on the section that you want to sit at, which I've done the section thing before.
I'm told that the one I'm going to, that there will be food present. So that's the...
Oh.
It's a special one.
Hey. Take it easy.
I was like, there's going to be food and stuff. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Food? What is the spread?
So,
I'm going on Thursday.
We're having problems with the internet.
That's okay.
It's that night, eh? It's that type of night. The internet, our video is paused while we... Lynn Scott says we're breaking up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know what to say about that. That's funny. And the signal says it's strong. Maybe it's you.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Okay. Naturally, I see how this could be blamed on me.
Yeah, we are definitely back. We were just talking about the Citadel. Sorry, we were breaking up and lost signal somehow. Don't know how. The price code, it says the tickets range from $25 all the way up to $110.
Okay, $110. I think my tickets are in the $60-$70 range.
I'm pretty sure you're at the $110 range with a meal. Yeah, pretty sure it's...
Oh, am I getting them at a deal or something?
I guess.
No, I think it's just that it's like a show before the show type of a thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. It's not called opening day, but it's like one of those things.
Okay. It sounds awesome. Yeah. So okay. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I've never seen The Color of Purple as a musical.
Yeah. Is it a musical, not like a play?
No, I'm pretty sure it's a musical, yeah. There was a musical version of The Color Purple, and that's the version that they're doing, I believe. So that will be interesting. First time I'll be privy to it. I'm taking young Sanaya to the... broaden her horizons. Yeah. And she can also be my camera lady.
Young Sanaya, she's going to learn about The Color Purple. Mm-hmm. Has she seen any of the movies?
I don't know.
Or the movie, I should think.
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
To the scroll.
The scroll. Go ahead. What you got?
What you got?
Really?
Okay. So, apparently San Marcos is this place. I believe it's in some place called... I think it's in... Oh, I don't know. Man, that really sucks. I don't know where it is.
Where San Marcos is?
Yeah. Can you find out for me?
Yeah.
So they have this new rule that they passed where...
Venice? Or Texas?
Texas. Okay. So it's Texas. Or I thought California. It was Texas. Oof. Mm. It's Texas.
Okay.
So in San Marcos, they had this rule where they... if it's a misdemeanor offense, the person can be cited and let go because they're not trying to like crowd up their jails. And apparently there's like a lot of overpopulation right now
In the jail system
in San Marcos, not the prison so much as the jails. Right.
Okay.
So, they have this rule where you can like, I guess in my mind, it's like catch and release where you can cite them and let them go instead of taking somebody all the way to jail. Mm-hmm. And of the 332 eligible for cite and release, they only cited and released 20 people. And of those people, guess how many were black? Not a single one.
So they jailed everybody else?
100% of the black people they put in jail. 100% of them.
Wow.
Yeah, and then of the white folks, actually, I don't even know. What we need to know is what percentage, 20 people out of how many were white that got arrested for these misdemeanor offenses. It could be 20. Right?
Could be.
Yeah, we have no idea. But anyway, so that was in San Marcos, Texas. Angela Davis, I'm trying to go with the light stuff first. Angela Davis is inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is good. Angela Davis, in case you guys don't know, she was a leader of the Black Panther Party in the 60s and then also got put in jail. Angela Davis, for some reason, I'm not quite sure how come she was able to like recover and like Asada was not. Or, like, other Black Panther leaders were not.
I don't know.
But she's a teacher, and I've read a lot of her work, and, you know, it's pretty cool. Also, are you familiar with that H&M, the most recent H&M ad that came out?
No.
So H&M just dropped this back-to-school ad, and there's a little black girl in it. And her hair is, like, fuzzy at the front, and she has a tiny little ponytail in.
Is this H&M Canada or H&M?
I think it's just the H&M brand. So okay. It would be just H&M. So, anyway, so the girl has this, like, messy, short ponytail type of a deal on. So people were outraged, and they were like, yo, what the F? Why are you putting this little black girl up like that? And then H&M was like, actually, we shoot our kids after a full day of school and playing and whatever, and that's what she looked like. So that's how we shot her. And people were like, now you know damn well you wouldn't put Asian or white folks on the ad. Now, are you on the ads?
I just looked up
at the black one.
I just looked up ad and this came up.
Okay, keep scrolling.
Okay,
what do you think? I didn't give you all the information yet. So what do you think so far before I give you all the information?
Just looking at her?
I'm just giving you the outrage right now.
Just looking at her and comparing her, she reminds me of my daughters.
Yeah.
And her hair is substandard to what I would want her to represent.
Were modeling, right?
You're representing a whole culture when you put your ad up with a black face or an Asian face or whatever face you put up there, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, was there a black woman present? Or a black man present.
Well, H&M said they did that on purpose. They said, it's not undone. We're going for a kid who has played all day. And that is a kid who's played all day. That's what her hair looks like.
No, it's not.
That's what they said.
You want to know what a girl looks like that plays all day looks like? All their clothes should be Rab Phillip the whole clothes too. Rab Phillip the H&M clothes. You can't have
skewed.
Yeah, my hair is messy, but the rest of my clothes is great.
Fine, no but the clothes stains? Is the thing that they were modeling. So they probably came and put on the clothes, right? It's, I'm sure they didn't wear the clothes.
The thought process behind it to me is absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, so you feel like the clothes don't match the hair.
No.
That's the problem?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, the girl looks like she came from a full day of play mm-hmm. and then put on fresh, clean clothes. Mm-hmm. Didn't shower. You know what I mean? Like, didn't shower, didn't lotion, didn't do her hair.
Why you had to go with lotion and all that, though?
Black people are black people.
The girl's not Ashley in the
picture. No, she's not.
Her face is beautiful. She has a beautiful big smile on.
She does have a beautiful big smile.
Her skin is glowing.
Yes.
They clearly...
But her parents should be absolutely outraged.
Find the pictures of the rest of the kid models that they put her beside. Because, you know, it's a whole campaign. There's other kids in the model.
Okay, I'm going. This is my reaction video to the. I wish we could like put them side by side.
I know, right? I wish we were savvy enough.
We're getting there.
We're trying.
Hair undone. Young black model's hair undone.
You have to see the whole.
Response to black hair controversy. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm going to...
See all the other kids.
Yeah, keep going. Essence is good. They'll show you everybody.
Okay.
Go, Essence, go. No? Boop. Boop.
I think I'm hitting rock bottom.
Is there a hyperlink in there?
There is a thing here where we can scroll to the side, maybe. Get more pics. Next slide.
Okay.
People getting mad.
Okay, those are people's reactions to this. Outrage.
The person who's outraged in this one, her hair is actually immaculate in the little thumbnail photo here.
Okay.
Her hair is like coming down by her eyes. You can
tell. That's straight.
Yeah, she would be upset.
So, I don't know why you can't find the rest of the pictures.
Let's keep looking. Oh, wow.
Yes, there we go. Here's some. Yes.
Oh, I like this one.
This is a whole next kid.
Huh?
That's a whole next kid. It's not?
What?
That's not a whole next kid.
Okay, there's that kid.
Okay, keep going, keep going, keep going. Next kid, yeah?
Let me see the ears one more time. Nope, same kid.
Okay, keep going.
Same kid.
So her hair's in like a little ponytail and then her hair's out. Oh, they don't have the rest of the kids. So essentially, let me just skip to the punchline. All the children in this thing have messy hair.
All of them do?
Every single one. There's a little white, redheaded white girl, and her hair is like naturally curly, and it's all like ruffled up, and it was clear that she had a bun when she went to school. There's another like Asian-looking girl who has a little half ponytail, and her half ponytail is all like stringy. The kids, every kid in there, look like they went through something. I want you to find the rest of them.
I'm looking.
Yeah.
They are repeating.
They're just showing her, right?
Yeah, they're just showing her. She's cute.
She's adorable.
She's a cute little girl.
I mean, she's a kid model, yeah. After all.
Well, not every kid model is cute.
Yeah?
I said it.
Your girls should be models.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah. So, essentially, all the kids had messy hair. And so, I was like, oh, here we go with this again. Even though I'm of the thought that they do that on purpose nowadays.
For bad press?
there's no such thing as bad press, right? Press is press. So after the press is bad, yeah, look. That's that girl.
That's a different girl.
Look at this girl.
That's a different girl.
But look at her hair.
Yeah.
It's like kind of messy. There's this girl.
Where are you seeing this? Bet. Okay.
Right?
B-E-T.
Now look at this little girl. Here's the white girl, because that's who I have to look at.
Because it's a podcast and you can't see what we're talking about, I'm going to explain what
I'm going to cut this out, but I'll post it all up.
Okay, yeah, she's messy. Yeah, their hair's all frazzled. Okay, yeah.
So I had less of a problem with it when I saw every single kid in the campaign. I'm like, oh, this is a messy hair campaign.
But you know why they're getting at H&M, right?
Because H&M stayed doing nonsense.
With black monkey.
Yeah, yeah, all that nonsense.
Yeah.
Coolest monkey on the block or whatever the heck they did the last time.
The shirt on. And they picked the one.
They do be
shirt.
Extra. I'm not going to lie about that. And to be honest with you, I don't really mess with H&M since the black monkey in the hood or whatever. Coolest monkey in the hood or whatever.
They had to reimagine that.
Of course they did. When I worked for H&M, there were times their shipments came in and we couldn't even take that shit out of the box. We just had to send it back to the company because shipments would come in and the whatchamacallit would already break. The issue. Oh. I don't know how to, the controversy around the item already would break. Once they copied a purse almost exactly from Chanel. They were not allowed to take it out. We weren't allowed to sell it. We were trying to get this, to take buy one before they sent it back. They were like, absolutely not. Nope. Once, like after 9/11, there were some boxers that said like, the bomb on them with little bombs all over them. The bombs with white hands, like it was like a character or something. Those had to go back. So H&M stay trying stuff.
Wait, it was a cartoon bomb guy with white hands? I know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a famous cartoon character.
Probably a knockoff of that guy. Because it's H&M, so they don't really pay licensing like that all the time.
H&M's crazy.
So, yeah, H&M is crazy. So, yes, I agree that we should definitely have gotten up on H&M's because they have a history of fuckery. Fuckery?
Okay.
So, and I also agree that we shouldn't really mess with H&M like that. But also, I agree that every single model in this particular campaign had messy hair. I feel like being in Canada is making me softer. Am I losing my edge?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe you're just being a more critical thinker.
Wow. Okay.
It happens with age. You get to a point where when you're
not outraged anymore?
Not outraged. Your anger is you know where to generate the anger too. When you're younger,
it's just everywhere.
When you're younger, you get angry and
you snap
at people that you don't need to, or you get angry and it's fists first.
Mm.
As you get older, you tend to be calmer with your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and then know, okay, what will actually cause results is not what I did before. It's an email or whatever.
Right.
We'll actually get results.
Okay. Well, moving along, up there in Parliament Hill, they're talking about allocating some money, $25 million over the next 5 years, to be exact, towards the Institute for Black Canadians in recognition of the International Decade of People of African Descent, which was this, we're living in it now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do $25 million over 5 years. To spread the capacity and share and celebrate black communities. And then also it will be called the Canadian Institute for Persons of African Descent and will work on advanced issues that impact black Canadians on a more systemic level. So they're working on putting that together on the national level, which is pretty cool.
When did he release this?
I don't know. The link's in the box. I don't know what day it is.
But it was like this week or last week or?
It was Thursday, 19th of September, 2019.
So shortly after Trudeau came in with brow face, black face? Because it's his government that's in charge.
Its presentation of the budget in 2019 in March, the government noted that in recognition of the United Nations International Decade of People of African Descent, it will provide $25 million over 5 years, starting in 2019, for projects and capital assistance. So it was not in response. This came out in March, but likely the article was in response to it, but not necessarily the actual support. Does that make sense?
I hear that.
So that's cool because they're talking about systemic racism. I know you're waiting to hear who talk about Trudeau and this brown face situation. Last one.
Go ahead.
Are you familiar with Ed Buck?
No.
So Ed Buck is this like millionaire donor. He used to be a model. And he donates to a lot of particularly Democratic causes. He's donated a lot of money to Hillary and a lot of money to Obama. And he has, for years, there's been a rumor about him preying on homeless black men. So what he does is he lures them into his house, and then he gets off. I guess his fetish is injecting them with drugs, all kinds of big drugs. So in 3 years, three overdosed black men have popped up at his house. And this now, third one, is the first time that he's actually being charged. And he's being charged with running a drug house. So not actually murder. But the first person actually wrote in his diary that he was now addicted to drugs and that Ed Buck is the one who got him addicted to it.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently, you know, they're saying that because it's black gay men, there was less, I guess they were less pressed to like press charges. Because I've heard about this since 2017. So when that first guy died in 2017, I heard about it. Mm-hmm. And so the next guy died like a year later. And then now this next guy died. There's a lot of dudes. And the last guy had all kind of like paraphernalia around and yeah, all kinds of stuff. So apparently the dude like gets these homeless guys and gives them money and food and a place to stay and all this stuff. And then in return tries to inject them with as much
Does he come up drugs behind as possible. Them and inject them, or you just give them the drugs and say, here?
He doesn't give it to them, though. He's like tying them down and injecting them with it.
Oh, okay.
So it might start out as like a fetish or like a sexual thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or they're doing it because they're trying to get a place to stay, or there's a million reasons why people do things that why they wouldn't necessarily do when they're in a vulnerable situation. Yeah, and then so the guy is like shooting people up with meth and heroin and stuff.
That's buck wild.
Okay, we need to get that sound.
Sorry.
We need to get that sound on tape.
Yeah, which one?
That's what we'll just do when we make corny comments. We need a bell or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's all I got. The first one, I want to say people's names. I don't know who the most recent victim is, but Gamel Moore was a 26-year-old that passed away in 2017, who actually was the one who wrote in his diary, this nigga got me addicted to this crazy drug.
Wow.
And then the next gentleman is Timothy Dean, and that was at 55. He's 55 years old, so.
Ooh, that is unfortunate. Really,
RIP to them, and like sorry their families, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess now we have to talk about this Trudeau man.
Oh, yeah. It's the last thing on the scroll, I think, for me.
That's the only thing on the scroll. I don't have anything else for me.
Yeah, this is going to be the last thing on the scroll. Justin Trudeau, for those of you who don't know, our prime minister for the Liberal Party, has about to campaign for the 2020 election. With his campaign for the 2020 election...
Is it 2020? It's for next year, or is it this year?
I think it's 2020. I'm pretty sure it's 2020. I'll double check.
Because recently Facebook said, hey, you're getting ready to vote in October. You want to register? Which I didn't even realize I could register to vote through Facebook.
Nice.
It's weird.
Oh, sorry. It's the 2019. So it's probably October.
So get out there and vote.
I don't know. You know why the Americans got me all mixed up?
2020 is the American election. Yeah, it sure is.
So our federal election is 2019. The campaign got kicked off with Justin Trudeau coming out and doing a bunch of things. But then these pictures surfaced of him dressing up for a Halloween or a party as Aladdin. But, which wouldn't have been a problem because Aladdin's a popular Disney character.
Also pretty fair skin.
But he decided to paint his face
jet black.
Brown.
Jet black. Was it brown?
It was actually brown.
I guess we saw a black and white photo.
It was black and white. But he did a dark brown.
Yeah.
So
is this the first time you've seen that picture?
Since when they surfaced it.
It never was around before? Because when I saw the picture, I recognized it.
I never saw it before.
I feel like it came up and maybe it didn't make news. It didn't splash the way they wanted it to.
He had a lot of momentum going in. I found out a lot about him and his background, you know, like him being a drama teacher before this.
Mm.
And a lot of people think he's not too smart and this. And then another one surfaced too, another picture when he was like, you know, it was only the one. First he said it didn't happen, and he said, oh, it was only the one time. And then another picture surfaced with him doing it again with a different character. And so a lot of people are like, look at this big dummy. Like, why didn't you resolve this?
I don't know. We have a mutual friend who posted about her performing Proud Mary in blackface. And on that particular post, a whole bunch of people ran through all the times they also performed in blackface. So I think across the board when it comes to Canada, I'm not sure that blackface is a thing that white folks actually care about in terms of
I think
moving
all
the voting block.
I think all across North America now, people are being taught that it's not right. There are a lot of things that we, and then I also have issues too, because there are a lot of times when you are a person and you do bad things in your 20s or things that aren't acceptable in your 20s. You learn from those mistakes. You change. You're now 40,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people are like, but when you were 20, and you're like, yeah, but I learned something. So even like the Liam Neeson story, when Liam Neeson said that...
That was weird.
It was really weird.
But he didn't need to say that out loud, though.
He didn't, but he did. Because he felt that the world needed to know that there's a change. It backfired on him. Because people were like, yo, look at this racist guy this whole time. And he's like, no. This is how I felt at this time.
The point of this...
This is how I feel now. I feel like that was wrong.
Hmm.
So... It's a hard one for me.
Justin Trudeau?
Liam Neeson.
Oh, but Justin Trudeau
could go down. No. Justin Trudeau, I don't know what his situation is. I know.
Do you know
this
what's
is...
more important to me than this blackface thing?
What?
Here I go being soft on the edges again. Since Trudeau's been in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
While his cabinet has had a lot of women in it and has had a lot of... South Asian and people of South Asian descent. There's not been a lot of black people in his cabinet, like black people. That's part one. And I know you think you know where I'm going with this, but you have no idea. So yeah. What Justin Trudeau has done, wow, what Justin Trudeau has done actually, honestly, in the last 4 years that was impressive to me is there was at least one time that he addressed anti-blackness in Canada and talked about it being a major issue. And in that time of addressing anti-blackness, he also says that we need to believe our fellow people when they're talking about it. And he talked about the inherent racism in not believing people when they're talking about their experience of anti-blackness in Canada. And as Canadians, we need to do better. And he spoke about anti-blackness, specifically the words anti-blackness. That didn't make a lot of news.
Yeah.
I shared it, but it wasn't a big... People were like, meow, meow. Right? So... Mm-hmm. For me, before there was ever any of this stuff, Trudeau was already, to me, he said the things that sounds like a person who's like reformed in a sense, in that way. Mm-hmm. I think black folks, we tend to have a second puberty, especially black people who grew up as a token or as the only black person. There's a point where we go through a second puberty where we're like, oh, and we kind of understand ourselves through the lens of our blackness, which we don't necessarily get an opportunity to do when we're younger. For some people, this comes when they're in college or university, or they have a chance to interact with other people, other black people. I moved away from here and went to college, but it wasn't until my friend group was like majority black that I was able to like understand kind of who I was through that particular lens. Before that, especially as a person growing up with in and around a lot of white people, you're kind of subject to the white lens. So sometimes certain parts of your blackness is performative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I say all of that to say that it seems to me that every white person I know who is actively... being an ally, I don't know if I would call Trudeau an ally, but who is actively working against anti-racism and working even to be a better person or to listen to people or to believe people, usually if you ask them, they can come up with a bunch of times in the past where they did some more than questionable and just plain old racist stuff. Right? I wouldn't expect Justin Trudeau to be outside of that. If you were like, Justin Trudeau has never in his entire life done anything that is racist and or questionable, I would be like, that's impossible. This is impossible. Mm-hmm. And there would have to be a time where he has an awakening or a realization or whatever. I'd like to know if I have a chance to ask Justin Trudeau about it, what was the point where you knew it was wrong? Like, he clearly knows it's wrong, and in his prime ministering, he has sort of walked the walk of mm-hmm. knowing that it's wrong and doing the things that are necessary. But what happened? Like, did he have a conversation with somebody? Did he read a bunch of stuff? Like, how did Justin Trudeau get to the part where he's, like, reformed?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but my co-host here, Nilo, even though both of us grew up around white people, both of our parents are black. So we need to make sure that people know that. Both of our parents are black. Her parents are both black. My parents are both black. So she did make a statement there, and I want to clear that up. You said you grew up around lots of white people.
I did.
Which is truth.
Right.
But I just need to specify that portion. She's fair, but she's fairer than me, but both of her parents are black.
Just so you know, that fairness is not blackness.
Okay.
So for you guys, yeah, just so that you know.
Okay.
There are not mixed people who are fair.
Mhm. So.
Or not white. Non-white. Non.
Okay.
Mixed, whatever. Not half white folks.
Okay.
Why did you get me here?
Get you where? I made a statement. You feel the need to expound on that statement.
Anyway. Justin Trudeau.
All right, let's move on.
My step. I do have to say because you're saying it. My stepmother is white. That's who people see me around. That's why they think that she's my actual mom.
No, you did not have to say it.
I did. That's who people see me around.
No,
because they'll be like, I've seen her in their mind.
No, you didn't have to say it. Okay. No.
All right, on we go. What do you think about it? You forgive? You gonna go vote for him, or are you gonna vote for Jagmeet? is that his name?
You know what? Jagmeet sounds like. I like it. I like
it. I've never said it out loud.
I like Jagmeet.
You're like, am I totally wrong?
No. I have, honestly, I am like a lot of people, not just black people, but a lot of people in this city and otherwise, who have not looked at the candidates thoroughly yet. And we're coming up to voting time, and usually like the week...
That nigga's name is Jagmeet. It sure is. You're over here like, Jagmeet, making me feel away. It's certainly Jagmeet. And then I didn't want to say Singh. Jagmeet Singh.
For those of you watching, this has been happening all day. I've been making statements all day, and for whatever reason,
Nilo has just been
feeling a ways about every statement made.
Yeah, sure.
All I was saying and explaining to everyone today. When you were looking it up, I was explaining it to them that
you don't know who the people
I don't
are?
Know who Jagmeet is. That's
he's
that
a
look
national
on my face.
NDP leader, Jagmeet Singh. He also served in the Canadian military. And he also recently said that the opioid crisis is a thing that the federal government should be putting money into, and we should be treating it like a national health crisis, not as an addiction crisis. And that's Jagmeet. He's the NDP leader.
Okay. I did not... know any of that stuff, which is funny because you do know it, but you don't really vote.
Yeah.
Which is funny, all in the same. I vote all the time. I just wait till the last minute to look up all the people and then be like.
I think if a candidate came along, I was like, look at me. Then I'd be like, oh, I'm on board. But Canadian politics. To me, it doesn't...
The two people who I noticed...
It doesn't excite me.
Justin Trudeau and Andrew Scheer.
Andrew Scheer is the conservative one.
Yeah, he's from the conservative.
He says a lot of weird stuff.
Andrew Scheer is very, to me, creepy.
He's Trump-like.
I just feel he's very creepy.
And also... His beliefs and stuff are very Trump-like.
Right. You have the Bloc Québécois. You have Yves François Blanchet. So he is going for that one.
It's just Trudeau and Jagmeet. The only two that I'm trying to figure out.
Elizabeth May. I got to tell you about Elizabeth May. Elizabeth May said by 2030.
She's a Tory? What did she?
She's Green. The Green Party.
Oh, Green Party.
So she has said if you vote her in by 2030... We won't be using gas or oil or any fossil fuels anymore.
10 years?
That I know. That I know. And then there's a party called the People's Party.
And
Maxime Bernier is the leader of the People's Party. But
is he wearing a bow tie? No, he's not wearing a tie.
He's wearing no tie. He
wants you to know.
I'm for you. I'm for you, people.
Yeah. I'm not one of these monkeys up here in suits. Not you, Jagmeet.
Elizabeth.
That's what he's doing
Elizabeth
up there. Elizabeth
May. I'm telling you, she's going to get
like
us
Theresa
off.
May.
She's going
to
get us off of.
Fossils.
Oil. Yeah, gas.
That's
oil.
The guy.
So
that's
that whole
lady.
Pipeline that people are trying to do?
Fuck that. Out of here. Yeah. She's never going to make it.
We are going to... This lady is going to have us, like Avatar, flying on kites and stuff, trying to get to work.
I want to see her plan. I'm not going to... You have me over here laughing at her. I want to see what her exact plan for this 2020, these 10 years getting us off of fossil fuels.
Did anybody is anybody listening to this?
What's her block? What's her party block?
Is anybody else listening to the fact that I just got blamed for her thinking, laughing at the lady?
You have me over here laughing at the lady. Yeah. But that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be coming up with a plan to get us off. I don't know that 10 years is realistic for this particular place. I think maybe even a 20-year plan I would feel like is more realistic than that 10-year plan.
This lady obviously doesn't live around here.
What are we going to do with all those? She's never been to Alberta.
Never been to Alberta.
What are we going to do with the entire industry of Alberta? Throw it away? Yeah, you know Alberta, like, gives money to other provinces, too, like the way Canada works, right? So that everybody kind of evens out a little bit and can do their social services and stuff?
What ticks me off is who's that we Alberta create money? Just about a few hours away from, or a few minutes away from here, this spot here. We create all the gas that Shell provides in the gas pumps all over Canada and the U.S. And then what we do is we create it, sell it to the U.S., and the U.S. then comes back and puts it in the pumps and gives us these high numbers. Like, we could literally make
a little bit extra,
way more money. Yeah, I think we sell it at something like 30 cents a liter, and then take it to the States, brings it back, and now I think our gas pumps now are at 90-something or 101, I saw at one of the gas pumps. So 101 is what we're paying. 30 is what we sold it for. If Shell just took it to us for 60, they'd be making mad more money. But it is what it is. Our system's a little bit flawed and broken.
It's all weird to me. It's all weird. It's all tangly and weird. Okay, so you know what my big issue is,
what's
though?
What's the big issue?
With the Trudeau thing?
Go ahead.
And then we can go.
No, go ahead.
I think my issue is that they keep calling it brown face instead of black face. That's the most irritating part of this whole thing to me.
Okay.
That they went out of their way to make a distinction.
Okay. Why does that bother you?
I think it bothers me because that is in itself anti-black. I think that Canada has a history of erasing violence against black people, anti-blackness in their history. And I think it's just another step towards that. Blackface is brownface is blackface. Like, brownface is blackface. So there's no such thing. Okay, what are we moving on to? The scroll?
We're on the screen now. So we just did the scroll. Scroll is just talking about things that happen on our social media, on Instagram, different things that happen throughout. A lot of times we do news in that segment. And then we do also mako, any mako that happens in that segment. But then we go onto the screen. So onto the screen, I like to do stuff that has actors, actresses, comedians, stuff like that. We did talk about our boy there, Kevin Hart. He's getting better. He's back after surgery. He's not back. He's resting.
Sorry, God.
So he's resting up. But there's been other things that have been going on. There's a meme that comes out, which this is kind of the scroll, but because it had Chris Rock in it, I saved it for the screen. He put on a photo of Betty White. Mm-hmm. And then the caption was, when there's a mass shooting, people say, and then the picture says Betty White, right? So people have now attacked him of being racist. They said black people could be racist too. And then it hit CNN like a mad rush.
First of all, I shared that meme before Chris Rock.
You did. You did share that meme.
First, let's start there.
That's one of the reasons why I brought it up. Chris Rock is getting
flack for the meme I sent
for
him.
For the meme that he sent
him. They got off my page.
Yeah. Once again.
My bad, Chris.
There you go. And then, of course.
What do you think about it? You think Chris Rock is being racist because he thought that the mass shooter may be white, or people be wondering?
I think exactly that. I think That's what I think, too.
They've all been white in America last year. All 256. Yeah. All 100% of them.
They're all white.
Okay.
And for the most part, mass shootings tend to be white people.
Mm-hmm.
Black people, when they lose it and they go to shoot somebody,
it's their family.
It's like two people.
It's the person responsible, typically.
It's
like you slept with my wife. Like the person responsible.
They have one where they show the newscaster. She fired this black guy. And he waited.
And he came back for her?
He shot her while she was doing the news.
I remember this.
While she was
on set. Did we remember this? This was a couple years ago.
This was a few years ago. And he just came and he just shot her. Black.
Yeah, but... Again, the person responsible for the pain and suffering.
Exactly.
He didn't shoot up the whole studio. All the key grips.
We always get away. Black people, for the most part, we always get away. We're not there for very long. White people be sitting there shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting. And then wait for the car. They hear the sirens and they're like...
Damn, police really do be beating them right at the scene.
Right at the scene. Yeah. Always.
Like, people be like, wow, I'm out of here.
Yeah, black people get caught at McDonald's. Man, I've been running for so long, man. I'm so hungry. And then they're the drive-thru. That's how the last black guy got caught.
Oh, gosh.
He went to the drive-thru. He was hungry, running from the cops.
Busted. So hungry, all this shooting.
I shot one person. I'm running for my life. Yeah, and it's the way how it is. And I'm not downplaying anything from mass shootings or any of the victims. But
was he being racist?
Was Chris Rock being racist?
Yeah, is it racist?
The statement, I think, is factual. I think on both ends, white people and black people think the same thing. White people think that a mass shooting is a black person. Mm. But they could put up a picture of Betty Black and then put
Betty Black?
Yeah, they could put up Betty Black. They could put up a picture of Betty Black.
Sure.
And say, you know, something like, you know, at the Chicken Waffle House, the person who makes the most noise is...
I think I'm going to make a fake profile now. I've been trying to figure out my fake profile name. And I think it's Betty Black.
That's what you're going to do?
I think it's Betty Black.
Wow. Everyone, you heard it here. This is
I don't have time for... I barely have time for the profiles I have. Are you kidding me?
So that was that for Chris Rock.
On the screen, Gerald Jerome, congratulations. He won an Emmy for his supporting role in When They See Us tonight.
Wow, good job.
Thanks, I'm on it.
Wow, this is bringing you the news as it happens.
Anybody from New York would have known what that was, but literally nobody else would catch that reference.
That reference.
10-10 wins.
That reference.
News on the 10s.
Is
traffic on the ones, weather on the ones.
That reference that you made, that noise, also is bulletin.
That's what it is. It's a news bulletin sound.
It's a news bulletin sound. We used to get that on the Muppets all the time.
No, the Muppets is my favorite thing. I was telling you last week that I'm like actually love Muppets. I used to watch the Muppets regular, and the Labyrinth and all the Muppet things.
Speaking of the Labyrinth.
Dance, magic dance.
They're trying to remake the Labyrinth.
Sing, who with who?
The same people who just redid Dark Crystal.
Who's going to be David Bowie?
I don't know.
The Labyrinth was actually terrifying for me.
So was Dark Crystal.
Oh. I haven't seen the original again yet.
Yeah, I got to watch that. That's up. I didn't get to watch Men in Black. I kind of feel weird about it, but I did get to watch
the new Men in Black. You haven't seen?
No. All my family has seen it.
I think we've seen it. I think I watch it every third night. It's like.
Is it good?
Yeah.
From what you remember, I should say.
I've seen it many times. It's good.
So, did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, all of it, many times.
Okay.
I just have seen it every third night since it came out.
That means it's good. If you've seen it all, then that means it's good.
It's Noel. But he just plays it. So I'm going to see different parts at different points. That's what happens with me in movies. That's why it's not linear.
But You said that you've seen it in entirety many times.
I have.
So, I mean, most times you see it once, but you've seen snippets.
Yeah, I do. I appreciate the Men in Black franchise, so I do try to watch it. Sometimes I'm like, what are we watching? And then I just scroll my phone until I fall asleep. So that happens too. And we've watched The Dark Phoenix like 4 times.
Ooh. Yes, I watched The Dark Phoenix. That
it was a bad movie.
It was disappointing. It was very disappointing.
It's a bad movie.
So, yeah, I just felt like the movie would have ended probably 10 minutes in.
I think they stopped having people who were fans of X-Men work on the X-Men movies. And now it's just like, I don't know.
I think that true. But I think it's more storyline.
Yeah, but the X-Men comic books have so many dimensions, so many storylines. Like, you could just take a book.
The Dark Phoenix storyline is probably one of the most epic storylines.
Sure.
It is. Even when you watch the 90s cartoon, she doesn't get the Black Phoenix. She gets the Black Phoenix, but she ends up going into space and meeting, like, a whole race of people that helps her control this. This one, she does get the thing. She does go into space with a plane, and then
the people come to Earth and find her.
To kill her and take the thing away from her. That's not how the storyline goes.
I didn't see that part. I didn't see the part where they're trying to kill her. I thought I only saw the part where they're like, they can't handle you. Only we can handle you.
Mm-hmm. So you thought they were the good guys when you saw that?
I wasn't sure what was happening yet.
That's funny. They're the bad guys from the beginning. So you missed.
They seemed like bad guys from the beginning.
You missed.
No, they killed a bunch of people to get there.
Just to get there.
Yeah, and then morphed into those people and then murdered all those people's families. Yeah. I saw all that. And then morphed into those people.
Yeah, that just screams bad guy to me.
Different people, different planets. Different cultural interpretations of bad guys.
It's a good show. It's cultural appropriation.
Interpretation.
I'm sorry. I totally did not interpret that as being good. So, yeah, that
all
was
right.
That.
Dark Phoenix.
Dave Chappelle came out with a comedy.
Can we talk about it next week? I haven't seen it. I want to come critically. So I promise everybody who I've been telling that I would watch the Dave Chappelle comedy special that I will watch it and we'll talk about it next week. I know you're tired of it by now. But you guys watch it too so we can all talk about it next week, please. I know. I only know the jokes secondhand. You told me some of the jokes. Noelle told me some of the jokes.
Okay.
So I only know them secondhand.
That's all I got for the screen.
Oh,
so, a word, you have a word?
No. That superhero movie with the little boy who's a superhero and his mom is a single mom.
Ah, Raising
Dion. The trailer's out.
Yes. I've seen that trailer about a year and a half ago.
No, the real trailer.
I've seen it.
That was like the Kickstarter trailer to like get the money to do the movie.
Oh, okay.
Now it's like the actual movie trailer.
Okay. I saw the little boy's hands like glowing and things floating. It looks pretty cool.
They did that. The word, you want to do the word?
Okay.
I know you asked me.
That's all right.
Do you have something?
Yeah.
You do?
Always.
I know you think it's me, but I don't think you know how you're coming off either. But that's okay. No problem.
I have a word going.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. This week has been really, really trying in more ways than I can even imagine. With the job that I've been going through and just the family dynamic and how things are going out at home, things get turbulent. And when things get strange or get brought in that are not familiar, we tend to get out of sorts when we kind of feel a ways about it. In the end, we end up doing a lot of bad before we could do good. We have to get all that energy out. And then finally we can think. I know for me personally, when things change, I have to be able to process it. So the first thing that happens is I process the upset, how upset I am because the thing has changed. And then it flips into, okay, now, what do we do from here now that I've processed this? So in my thought process and in my word for today is, I'm not going to tell you not to process. You have to process all the information in order to make the correct decisions in everything that you do. But I also want to encourage people that in your processing, while you're moving forward and while you're doing that, consider the changes and how the positive spin, try to look at the positive spin on every single portion of it. You're not going to be able to do that right away as it hits you. There's been lots of information that has hit me this week that has been troubling, to say the least. And so with the work and the troublesome information and the stuff like that and being busy and not being able to reach out to different family and friends that may be affected by all the things that are going on, it tends to get overwhelming. So take one step at a time, figure out what you want to do, and look at the positive spin and come in supercharged. If you overload something with positive energy, it becomes a part. It's infectious. It spreads to one person, to the next, to the next, to the next. And that really is my word for the day.
Okay.
All right. Anything happening this week?
Nothing that I didn't say, I think, in the beginning. We have DJ Iceman's birthday pajama party coming up. We have The Color Purple, whose run is beginning shortly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about it.
Any birthdays?
No.
Okay. For me, we will have... we're trying to, and this is in the works here on the Black Multiverse Theory podcast, we're trying to have a kind of a games night where we bring, kind of like how we did before, we're going to have another live music night, which was awesome, and we're going to try to do a games night where we bring in some musicians, some singers especially, not just musicians, but singers, to do some singing games. Which we will have live, and we'll host and get it all done.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll let you know when that's going to be. The space is looking great. Nilo has done amazing things to the space to make it look amazing. So we'll utilize that. Anything for the BSA?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. All right. Well, that is it, and... thank you for tuning in. Please like us on all the outlets that you see. Please share with your friends and family. And once again, thank you for joining us at the
Black Multiverse Theory podcast.